Football might be over for the season, but basketball is in full steam for both pro and college hoops. From all the latest odds, totals, player performance props, to where the next fired coach is going to land, BetOnline is the number one spot for your sports betting needs. Head over to the website and use your mobile devices to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Use promo code BLEAV, that's BLEAV, to get started. And it's not just basketball. BetOnline is your source for hockey, boxing, and UFC odds. Right to Olympic coverage, it's the best in the business. From sports right down to your favorite Vegas casino games, BetOnline is your number one online wagering destination. BetOnline, the fastest and easiest way to wager on all your favorite sports and play your favorite games. BetOnline, where the game starts. BetterHelp is accustomed to online therapy that offers video, phone, and even live chat sessions with your therapist, so you don't have to see anyone on camera if you don't want to. It's more affordable than in-person therapy, and you can start communicating with your therapist in under 48 hours. Why invest in everything else and not your mind? This podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp, and Eagles Unfiltered listeners get 10% off their first month at betterhelp.com/eagles. That's BETTERHELP.com/Eagles, EAGLES. Take the time out, get your mental health in the right state of mind, and go to betterhelp.com and get 10% off your first month by just listening to this podcast. That's betterhelp.com/Eagles.
Hey guys, welcome back to the Giovanni Show. Today we have on the Blue Meanie. What's up?
What's up, dude?
How you been?
Good. All things considered, you know, still doing my thing. It looks like you got well adjusted over there in Indiana.
Yeah. You know?
Pretty cool, man. We were just talking off air how you're liking it, liking the move.
Yeah, it's been great. It's a great school here too.
Awesome. And I'm sure you made a lot of new friends and stuff.
Yeah. That's awesome.
I've had to move as a kid, and you know, just getting adjusted takes a little bit of time, but it's good to see that you're doing good adjusting. So I'm happy for you, buddy.
Yeah, it's been great. Thank you.
Awesome.
So to start off the show, rest in peace, Scott Hall. I know that you knew him. What kind of a guy was he outside of the ring? And also, how did he help improve the business?
Scott Hall was definitely one of the coolest guys you'd ever want to meet, because he can just be a guy, and he can also, you know, have fun with you in a non-malicious way, and, you know, crack a joke to, you know, and make you laugh, you know, even though, you know, sometimes the joke's about you, but you know, it's in a good hearted manner, like a good hearted, you know, rib, like, you know, friends do and stuff like that. But the cool thing is I got to see Scott Hall wrestle when I was 12 years old. My grandfather used to take me to the wrestling matches, and a wrestling promotion called the AWA was running in Atlantic City at the Tropicana. And my grandfather took me, and there was, you know, Scott Hall was on the show. But, you know, going to the building, me and my grandfather were walking over to buy our tickets, like, earlier in that day. And, like, Scott Hall, Greg Gagne, and Mr. Perfect, Kurt Hennig, were just hanging out by the front desk. And they were, like, so kind. You know, I got to get their autographs and just, like, talk to them for a second and stuff like that. So to go on and become a professional wrestler and get in the business and get to know a guy who I got to watch wrestle as a kid and later on as an adult, you know, it was pretty cool. He definitely, you know, Scott Hall and Kevin Nash made the wrestling business better from the aspect of guys getting paid better money, because you know, back in the day, you know, you got paid for the shows you worked. You know, there was no real guaranteed money. You know, if you got hurt, you had to, you know, wrestle hurt, or you didn't work, you didn't get paid. So they, when Scott Hall and Kevin Nash went over to WCW, they were like one of the first guys to get like real guaranteed money. And, you know, they made the business better. Where, you know, in any business, competition is good. So they made WCW competitive with WWE. So WWE's watching WCW, and WWE doesn't want their guys to jump over to WCW. So WWE started paying their guys better. So from a standpoint of how the wrestlers were getting paid, that move by, you know, Scott Hall and you know, next by Kevin Nash changed the way, you know, some of the wrestlers got paid. And, you know, guys are able to, you know, now they're able to take days off and stuff like that, not have to worry about missing a payday. You know, you get guaranteed, you know, there's a thing in wrestling, a downside guaranteed, a downside guarantee where you're, you know, even if you don't work, you get X amount for that year. And then upon, you know, you do extra stuff, you get extra pay. But, you know, that was just like a relief for some of the wrestlers, than knowing that, like, if they had to take time off for injury, they weren't going to, you know, fall back on their bills and stuff like that. So Scott Hall, I mean, and just from a creative standpoint too, that NWO thing influenced a whole bunch of copycats, myself included, with the BWO. You know, yeah, Kevin and Scott and Hulk doing the NWO, and I'm an ECW, and you know, my faction at the time, me, Supernova, Steve Richards, we were known for doing parodies of other wrestlers. So when the NWO was the biggest thing in the business, we had, you know, that was a no-brainer. Yeah, you know, we had to do that parody, and the BWO was only supposed to be a one-night deal. And it turned out to, we're still doing it to this day. It's insane. It's crazy.
Yeah. So what match are you most excited for? Because Mania is coming up. Out of the two nights, which one are you most excited for?
Oh, man, there's so many cool things. The good thing about wrestling and WrestleMania, they got, you know, a mixture of current stars and nostalgia. You know, I'm excited to see Stone Cold Steve Austin. You know, they say it's going to be an interview segment, but I have a feeling it's going to break out to a match.
Yeah, it will. Yeah. There's no way that he just goes and doesn't fight.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah.
I definitely think that's going to bust out to a match. I'm excited to see one of my pupils, Matt Riddle, defend his WWE tag team titles with Randy Orton, which I think he will prevail. I'm very confident in that. And then, you know, there's, what was the other? Oh, I'm excited to see what Pat McAfee might be doing with Austin Theory.
Yeah.
Big fan of Pat McAfee. You know, I watch his show every day. And, you know, always entertains me. He looks like he was definitely made for the wrestling business, you know, and the way he presents himself and stuff like that. He just seems like a natural. And the stuff he did in NXT was amazing. So I'm excited to see what, you know, Pat McAfee does. But, like, it's pretty cool to, you know, breaking WrestleMania down into two nights now. Like, a lot like there's a promotion in Japan called New Japan Pro Wrestling. They had that their WrestleMania is called Wrestle Kingdom, and they started doing two nights, and that got like a big, you know, positive reaction, because WrestleManias would go in the past, you know, they were going like 8 hours long. So if you split it up into two nights, you're less likely to burn the crowd out. You know, there's nothing worse than having a wrestling match in the main event, and before the three counts coming down, people are throwing on their coats and running out the door because they gotta get out of there. But
yeah,
WrestleMania, I have fond memories. you know, going to the first one. I didn't go to the first one, but when I was a kid before there was pay-per-view, you'd have to buy a ticket and go to a theater and watch it on the big screen, kind of like watching a movie.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And me and my grandfather, you know, my pop, me and him went to Resorts Casino in Atlantic City for the first three WrestleManias. And then WrestleMania 4 and 5 came to Atlantic City. So I went, at, you know, I was in attendance for WrestleMania 4 and 5.
Yeah.
And then I, you know, to become a wrestler and had my WrestleMania moment in Philadelphia at WrestleMania 15. You know, it doesn't get any better than that. So I love WrestleMania. I love WWE. I'm unapologetically, you know, a homer when it comes to WWE. So. Yeah, I'm very excited for this weekend, especially a little inside baseball. Me and you are watching, me and you are talking right here on Friday. Tonight we'll be watching the Hall of Fame, and that'll be a great experience as well.
Yeah, it will. So I saw that my guy Drew McIntyre is fighting.
Yeah.
Who do you think is going to win that match? Oh,
of course, Drew.
Yeah.
I love Drew's the man. He's the ultimate success story, you know. He, you know, my only regret with Drew is I wish he would have had the WWF or WWE title when there was fans in the building, you know.
Yeah.
He won the Royal Rumble and the crowd was just going insane for him, and he would have went into that WrestleMania just, you know, with that crowd, and it would have been magical, but. He's definitely going to have a WrestleMania moment. He's wrestling Happy Corbin, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So he's got a couple receipts he needs to cash in on Happy Corbin there. So, yeah, definitely Drew McIntyre all the way.
Yeah, I think Drew's going to win.
Yeah.
So another match that I am very excited for, Pat McAfee. Who is a good friend of mine, fighting Austin Theory. Who do you think's going to win that one?
Oh, it's got to be Pat. You know, Pat's scrappy, man. He's trained to be a professional wrestler. He trained with Rip Rogers for a little bit. So he knows what he's doing, but he's also, you know, street smart. He's a tough dude. You know, Austin Theory, great athlete. But you know, when you think about Pat McAfee, he's used to be in stadiums in front of large crowds as well. So this is the best of both worlds for Pat. You know, he's in an NFL stadium in a wrestling match. Austin Theory, relatively new to WWE. But he's been around for a little bit, but new to WWE. And you know, when those bright lights shine on you, you know, some people excel and some people get a little bit nervous, and I'm wondering if, you know, Austin gets a little bit nervous and too sideline with taking selfies of himself, and Pat McAfee takes advantage. I definitely see Pat doing great things. You know, the WWE universe has, you know, taken to him really well. You know, they've accepted him, because, you know, a lot of guys come, you know, do crossovers from other forms of entertainment, and the WWE universe either accepts them or gives them the thumbs down. And Pat's been doing a great job.
Yeah. Yeah. I think Pat's going to win that one. So going to Eagles football now.
Yeah.
The draft is coming up. Who do you want in the draft?
Yeah. Well, here's where you have more of an advantage than I do. I don't really watch too much college ball, but what's his name? Sauce. Everybody's talking about Eagles potentially moving up in draft, try to get the Sauce guy, which I said, you know, somebody in South Philly, I mistakenly call him Gravy, because there's always that Gravy versus Sauce argument in South Philly. But, I definitely want to get some more defensive guys in here. I think we're pretty good on the offensive line. We have a really good offensive line. I just would like to bolster the defense a little bit, but historically, you know, the Eagles really don't take middle linebackers.
Yeah.
They've signed a few guys, but, you know, it would be good to get some guys for, you know, depth, you know, have a good rotation of defensive guys who can come in and out and stay, you know, keep the defense fresh and wear the opposing offense down. So I would like to see either that or, you know, if they could get a wide receiver. Well, we haven't done really well with the wide receivers. So,
yeah,
hopefully, you know, my main focus would be on the defense. Because last year, there's a lot of games where the Eagles scored 28 points and still lost. You know, it's like usually when you score 28 points, you should be able to win, to pull off a win. But a lot of times, even with that Saints game where it looked like the Eagles were up early in that Saints game, they kind of, you know, the defense kind of like got the Saints back into the game until Jalen had that magical run at the end of the game to put the game away. But definitely need some work on the defense, for sure.
Yeah, I was thinking linebacker Devin Lloyd. I think he can be crucial to our defense. And all these linebacker moves, I just want to take full credit for them.
Yes.
I'm just kidding. But
No. Make the credit, man. You went on national television, and you laid down the punk card. You said, here's your punk card, Howie. Get some middle linebackers, for the love of God. Get some middle linebackers, and, you know, he does it.
Actually, I got to talk to Howie after that.
How did that go?
So we go down the elevator because we had to run around the entire stadium, and we had to go through all the suite levels. It was really cool to see all the GMs and owners in their suites as I'm walking by. I think I saw the Dolphins and the Bengals, and their doors open. So I'm just like looking in. I'm like, got any snacks? But no, they were. It was just a really cool experience. And then we got to go into the box, obviously, with Rich Eisen, and he actually hopped out of his chair like in the middle of when they're on TV. And he says, here, you take this. And then he just comes over and starts talking to me and my mom. And then they go to commercial. They start doing their makeup. And then I just go in. And then after that, we took the elevator down. And it was after the Colleen Wolf interview. Mm-hmm. And we're walking back and we're getting ready to leave. And we're in this blocked off zone where the fans can't go. And we see Howie Roseman and Nick Sirianni. And I'm like, oh no, I just told him to get linebackers. And he's like, we saw you on the screen, but we couldn't hear what you were saying. And I was like, that's a good thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's
what do you think that the Eagles need to do to consider this draft a success? Besides getting linebackers?
Oh, man. Here's the thing, you know, people give Howie crap for, you know, place, you know, drafts and stuff like that. But, you know, yeah, let's compare him to other GMs in other cities. I'm sure a city, you know, like Cleveland would love to have a Howie Roseman who can get the Eagles to, you know, the playoffs, you know, four out of the last 5 years, you know, for this to be a success, we need to, you know, start drafting for some better schools, you know. Yeah. I think, you know, they finally realized that, hey, you know, there's other schools like, the Tide, you know, Crimson Tide, that, you know, actually pump out NFL ready players. You know, they need to start looking at, you know, like some really good schools, and, you know, draft from that and build on that. But
Alabama.
Yeah, I should know that. My good friend Conrad Thompson's from there, so he always says, you know, that's his catchphrase, roll tide, buddy. But Alabama, Crimson Tide, you know, just start drafting, you know, start thinking a little bit outside the box, try to do, you know, things a little bit different, and don't leave things to a coin flip. Like Jeffrey Lurie just said, you know, they, you know, when it came to drafting JJ Arcega-Whiteside, it was down to JJ and one other player, and they're like, well, let's flip a coin. Well, how about we just make a decision? You know, yeah, just pick a guy. But we need to get somebody who's just NFL ready, who can, you know, come in and plug in, and not be afraid of, you know, handling pressure, you know, like Rager or something. I just, poor Rager, man. He seems like he's frightened out there, you know, just between, you know, catching punts and dropping balls and stuff like that, you know, dropping passes. I mean, but, you know, just if they could just get somebody who's ready day one to step into that role. We need somebody, you know, to complement Smith in the wide receiving crew. You know, when, you know, Smith's your best receiver, they know how to, you know, they know where to go to defend. You know, they'll double team him. They'll double team Goddard or, you know, whatever. We need to get some more capable receivers to, you know, open up the field a little bit more. You know, hopefully they do that.
Yeah. And yeah, I really hope they do. Wide receiver is crucial. Linebacker is crucial. I think Howie can do a lot with this draft. Hopefully he does not draft a quarterback.
No, we don't. My God, for love of God, we went the reaction to when they drafted, you know, Hurts in the second round. You know, it's like, man, you're just brewing controversy. Now go out and, you know, we have a good, you know, backup, we're good in the quarterback department where we don't need to, you know, go out and draft one, but definitely wide receivers, definitely defense, middle linebackers, and bolster that defense, to wear the other, you know, team's offensive, you know, offense down to where, you know, our offense can go out there and sustain a pretty good drive as well, you know, and take time off the clock, and, you know, hopefully, you know, when either we score a touchdown or, you know, give the ball back to the other team, our defense can just get the ball back for us to have our offense, you know, march down the field again. So, and it sounds like basic football knowledge, but I mean, it's a lot easier said than done.
Yeah. Thank you so much for coming on and talking to me, Meanie.
Oh, dude, anytime. I have a Howie Roseman story. I was flying from Philadelphia to Nashville to wrestle for my buddy's promotion. This was the summer of the Super Bowl 2017, and I'm standing there waiting in line. I'm looking ahead, and there's Howie Roseman. So I was like, "That's got to be Howie Roseman. That's how." So I go, I get on the plane, I go, Howie Roseman? He goes,
yeah.
So I go, I extended my hand, I shook his hand, I said, thank you for everything, you know, you do for the Eagles.
No problem.
And so I take my seat, which is kind of like in the same row as him. Now he's on the plane with his family. I'm sure, you know, Nashville's their connection. And then they were probably I can only assume they're going to Disneyland or something like that. So I sit there, and somebody comes up and goes, asked me if I would switch seats with one of Howie Roseman's children, who wound up getting seated in the back of the plane so they could sit in the same row. And I gave up my seat for Howie Roseman's kid. Now, if I had been thinking, I'd be like, hey, you got a business card there, Hal? you know, just in case. And then, that was it. I got off the plane in Nashville, and I'm not 10 steps off the plane. And then there's Peter LaViolette, the former Flyer, former Philadelphia Flyers coach who was coaching the Nashville Predators at the time. I was like, so, and of course, on one flight, I'm on a flight with Howie Roseman. I run into the Flyers' former coach right there. So it's cool little, experience.
Yeah. Thank you so much for coming on, and thank you for helping me get Mick Foley on the podcast.
Yeah, I watched it, but I mean, from your perspective, how did that go for you?
I think that is probably the most nervous that I've ever been for a podcast.
Now you're in good hands with Mick. Mick's a great guy. He's a caring guy, and Mick helped me a lot too when I first went to ECW. Well, actually, my first big name opponent was Cactus Jack. You know, I was only in the business for maybe a couple months. And a friend of mine who's promoting shows in the Pittsburgh area had me wrestle Cactus in a tag match. So flash forward, I go to ECW and he remembers me. And when it was Cactus was about to leave ECW to go to WWE, and they were having a farewell match for him, and he started working me and my tag partner Steve Richards into a bunch of his bits. So like, there's a couple shows where we're like his quote unquote henchmen in this corner. And the night before he left, you know, me and Stevie Richards managed Mick Foley against Chris Jericho, which is pretty cool. And then his final night in the company, you know, he wrestles Mikey Whipwreck, pins him, and then they have this he goes on to have this big speech, you know, like farewell speech. And he goes, I'd like to bring out, there's two guys in the back I need to address. One is a creative genius, blah blah blah, and the other guy, without him ECW would not exist. So the whole crowd's thinking he's going to bring out Paul Heyman and Todd Gordon, the people, you know, creators and bookers of ECW. He's like, I like to bring out these two men, Stevie Richards and the Blue Meanie. And we come, the crowd's like, and Mick and Stevie do, they start playing Frank Sinatra's New York, New York, because he's going to WWF. And people always refer to WWF as New York. And we start doing the Rockettes can-can dance. And we strutted out of the building. So Mick had doing that kind gesture to me and Stevie made us in the eyes of the fans of ECW. Because if Cactus Jack, you know, Mick Foley, thought enough to include us into his farewell and everything else he did, he made us stars in the eyes of the ECW fans. So I love Mick Foley, and very fortunate to call him a friend. And I'm glad he got on there with you, man, because I saw your video. It's like, Mick, you gotta talk to this kid. He's really good. So
yeah, he was awesome, and I cannot believe that I had him on the show. Like, I'm still in shock.
I'm sure he'll be back too, so
I hope so.
Yeah. Hey, you did very good by talking to him about amusement parks, because that's his soft spot.
Yeah.
He's a roller coaster aficionado. He loves his roller coasters. I mean, he can't do them now because of, you know, everything that wrestling's done, you know. But like, dude, he was always about the roller coasters and the theme parks, and he would book, you know, wrestling trips around, you know, taking his family to different, you know, amusement parks and stuff like that. So when you start talking to him about that, I saw his eyes light up, you know, so it's pretty cool.
Yeah. Thank you so much, man.
Oh, thank you, my friend. And go Birds.
Go Birds.